It was, in the most general sense, magic adjacent. There are locations all over the world where power is so concentrated that it becomes the meeting ground for good and evil. Call them nexuses. Call them ley lines. Call them Eden. Over the centuries, as Four Rivers lost its water sources, its magic faded too, leaving only a weak pulse beneath its dry mountains and plains. That pulse was enough. In the dip of the valley where the Four Rivers had once intersected, Orquídea Montoya built her house in 1960. Built was a bit of a stretch, since the house appeared as if from the ether. No one was there when the skeletal foundation was laid or the shutters were screwed in, and not a single local could remember having seen tractors and bulldozers or construction workers. But there it was. 5 bedrooms, an open living room with a fireplace, 2.5 bathrooms, a kitchen with well-loved appliances, and a wraparound porch with a little swing where Orquídea could watch the land around her change. The most ordinary part of that house was the attic, which only contained the things the Montoyas no longer had use for, and Orquídea's troubles. The entire place would become the thing of nightmares and ghost stories for the people who drove to the top of the hill, on the only road in or out, and stopped, watching and waiting for a peek at the strange family living within. Once they realized they had a new permanent neighbor, the people of Four Rivers decided to start paying attention again to who came and went. Who exactly were these Montoyas? Where did they come from? Why don't they come to Mass? And who, in God's grasshopper-green earth, painted their shutters such a dark color? Orquídea's favorite color was the blue of twilight, just light enough that the sky no longer appeared black, but before pinks and purples bled into it. She thought that color captured the moment the world held its breath, and she'd been holding hers for a long time. That was the blue that accented the shutters and the large front door. A few months after her arrival, on her first venture into town to buy a car, she learned that all the ranch-style houses were painted in tame, watery pastels. Nothing about Orquídea's house was accidental. She'd dreamt of a place of her very own since she'd been a little girl, and when she'd finally acquired it, the most important things were the colors and the protections. For someone like Orquídea Divina Montoya, who had attained everything through stubborn will and a bit of thievery, it was not just important to protect it, but to hold on to it. That is why every windowpane and every door had a gold laurel leaf pressed seamlessly into the surface. Not just to keep the magic in, but to keep danger out. Orquídea had carried her house with her for so long, in her heart, in her pockets, in her suitcase, and when it couldn't fit, in her thoughts. She carried that house in the search for a place with a pulse of magic to anchor it. In total, Orquídea and her second husband had journeyed for 4,898 miles, give or take a few. Some by carriage, some by ship, some by rail, and the last 20 solidly on foot. By the time she was done traveling, the wanderlust in her veins had dried up. Eventually, she'd have children and grandchildren, and she'd see the rest of the world on the glossy postcards that covered the entire refrigerator. Like some, for her, one pilgrimage was enough. She didn't need to measure her worth by collecting passport stamps and learning 6 languages. Those were dreams for a girl left behind, one who had seen the pitch black of the seamless sea, and who had once stood at the center of the world. She'd lived 100 lives in different ways, but no one, not her 5 husbands or her descendants, really knew her. Not in the way you can know someone, down to their bones, down to the secrets that can only be augured in bloody guts. What was there to know? 5'1", brown skin, black hair, blackest eyes. Orquídea Montoya was untethered to the world by fate. The 2 most important moments of her life had been predetermined by the stars. First, her birth, and second, the day she stole her fortune. Her birthplace was a small neighborhood in the